From Washington, VOA presents Issues in the News.
On the panel this week, Linda Feldman, Washington Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and joining us by phone, Tom DeFrank, contributing editor to the National Journal. Our moderator is VOA Senior National Correspondent Jim Malone.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our program for this week. These are the issues we're going to be discussing on Issues in the News this week. Rex Tillerson may be on his way out as U.S. Secretary of State, according to reports. Mike Pompeo, who's currently in charge of the CIA, could be in line to take over at Foggy Bottom. North Korea has launched another ballistic missile, the 18th since President Trump took office, this one traveling higher than any other North Korean missile launch, which some believe shows Pyongyang's capability of hitting the eastern U.S. mainland. President Trump took to the road to tout the Republican tax plan. He was in St. Louis, Missouri, touting it as a Christmas present for the American people. Democrats, not surprisingly, disagree with the president's assessment, arguing it mainly cuts taxes for the wealthy, and Republicans struggled to overcome their own differences in the final stages of a debate in the Senate. And finally, more sexual harassment claims leading to another celebrity losing his job this past week. Matt Lauer, the longtime host of NBC's popular Today program, is the latest to be dismissed over accusations of sexual impropriety. Lauer's behavior, as with others in politics, Hollywood, and the news media, had been whispered about for many years. We'll talk about all these issues now with our guests. And first of all, I guess I want to turn to Linda Feldman here in the studio to discuss the case of Rex Tillerson and the reports originally emanating from the New York Times that he's a short-timer at the State Department and a major shakeup maybe in the offing.
Right. Well, I think anybody who's been paying attention to Washington will not be surprised by the latest report. In fact, this has been reported for weeks that Rex Tillerson is on his way out and that Mike Pompeo, currently the head of the CIA, is his likely successor. Rex Tillerson came in with high hopes. Even people within the diplomatic community supported his appointment, even though he had no diplomatic experience or government experience. He came from, of course, ExxonMobil CEO with worldwide experience. He is a serious, intelligent man, projects gravitas, absolutely has not meshed with Donald Trump. And Trump has undermined him in tweets and in person, mocking him for trying to use diplomacy on North Korea. And the real death knell, I think, came about a month ago when it was revealed that Rex Tillerson had referred to Trump as a moron in a private conversation. So the clock has been ticking since then, and I think it's just a question of when and not if.
Some people may have been surprised it's gone on this long, given that particular comment and the fact that Tillerson never actually formally denied it when he was pressed about it in various news opportunities. Let me bring in Tom DeFrank on this. The team that's being talked about coming in seems to have a main characteristic or trait, Tom, and that is they seem to be quite loyal to the president.
Well, I think that's right, Jim, and I couldn't agree with Linda Moore. This has been in the cards for months, and I think the only reason he is still in office is there are some. I think they've made a quiet deal. The White House has made a quiet deal with Tillerson, who apparently has to stay in government for at least a year because he's got millions and millions of dollars in taxes due. Because he had to divest himself from a lot of stocks. And it's a little complicated, but I think the only reason he's still there is because of this financial arrangement that the White House is, I would characterize it as tossing him a bone. It is ironic that Tillerson was highly recommended by a couple of his predecessors, James Baker, his friend from Houston, Condoleezza Rice. Both Baker and Rice are former secretaries of state. Bob Gates, former Secretary of Defense and former head of the CIA. These were all, without the support of those three, Tillerson would not have been appointed to this position. And part of the problem is, Linda talked about undermining President Trump, undermining Tillerson. That's true, but another way he has been undermined several of the appointments he wanted to make at the State Department have been rejected by the Trump transition and ongoing State Department transition people. They felt like many of the appointments Tillerson wanted to make were not sufficiently loyal to President Trump. And you can be sure Pompeo and Cotton are very loyal to President Trump. I'm not as impressed with Pompeo as I am with Tom Cotton, who is the real deal, former Army officer. And while conservative, is a what I would call a right-minded conservative. He's a grown-up. He is very smart, very intelligent. And while he will have President Trump's interests at heart, I think he will be far more capable. Cotton is going to the CIA, and I think that's a good fit for him. I'm not so sure Pompeo at State is a particularly good fit, but we'll know in a few months.
And Linda, I wanted to ask about what the international reaction might be to this shift. I suppose there were already questions about when Rex Tillerson speaks, mm-hmm. is he speaking for President Trump? Because right. they seem to be on different pages at times. And, you know, maybe in one sense that Pompeo, if he's seen as close to Trump, might right. be seen as a more, you know, honest indicator of where Trump's head is at.
That's right. No, that's a very good point. I mean, Pompeo is in some ways more like Donald Trump than Tillerson ever has been. Pompeo is, he's more outgoing. He's more, a little more feisty, people say. And, you know, he has the president's confidence, and that is absolutely essential. I mean, Tillerson's defenders are saying that he is more qualified in some ways to be Secretary of State than Pompeo. Pompeo has a background. He's a graduate of West Point, which is a plus. He's a businessman. He was in Congress for 6 years. So not a huge amount of international experience there compared with Tillerson. But he does seem to have the president's confidence, and that's absolutely essential. And you're right. As the entire world watches this transition, having a Secretary of State who really does speak for the president at least creates some clarity. Now, the next question is, what does Pompeo stand for? Well, he's much more of a hawk. So people who like diplomacy, people like James Mattis, who is seen as the, sort of the ultimate grown-up in the room on a lot of national security matters and who is calling for talk over bullets. If Pompeo comes in and sort of surpasses Mattis in some way, at least in Trump's mind, that could create a more kind of aggressive posture on the part of the U.S. on the world.
Tom, this all comes at a time when North Korea policy, the latest missile launch, has a lot of people concerned. And I wonder what it says, though, to the rest of the world when we see this apparent move to move Tillerson out right at this crucial moment about what are we going to do about the North Korean nuclear threat?
Well, I think this is a problem that is still in search of a policy. At the moment, the president has authorized kind of a two-track system, increasingly muscular statements and occasionally threats from the president. But below the radar, there's diplomacy going on. At the moment, there's no sign of the diplomacy is working. I mean, President Trump in recent days has complained that the Chinese sent an envoy to Pyongyang, and according to President Trump's one of his tweets, they got nothing. And so I suppose we'll see. There are not a lot of options. There are not a lot of good options. You hear more buzz in Washington these days that maybe we might have to do some kind of a military action on the ground, but nobody really wants that to happen. But the president seems to be growing more and more frustrated that the North Koreans have not responded either to carrots or to sticks. And so nobody wants the U.S. to go to war, but this is the biggest danger that the U.S. and the civilized world confronts. I remember President Obama, the first time he met President-elect Trump, he said, the biggest problem you have is what to do about North Korea.
Linda, briefly, before we go to a break, I want your thoughts on this. I mean, do you think we're closer to some sort of potential military conflict at this point, given this latest launch, or where do things stand?
It's really hard to know. Pompeo, as head of the CIA, has apparently been aggressively developing covert options for dealing with North Korea, which raises other possibilities besides just an all-out military option. So it's hard to know, but I think everybody agrees there's no silver bullet here. I mean, this is one of these situations where, you know, do we talk? Do we accept that North Korea is a nuclear power and try to contain it? I think some people feel we're already at that point.
What will people be looking for if, in fact, Pompeo replaces Tillerson? Will people be looking for a shift in policy, a shift in the personality of the nation's top diplomat, or are they just going to have to take a wait and see attitude to see what comes up next?
I think it's going to be wait and see. I mean, given that Donald Trump is still new to diplomacy and international affairs, I think he does rely heavily on his advisors, and if he's very swayed by the people in the room with him, and if he's got Pompeo talking a more aggressive, hawkish line with him, that really could shift the administration's posture. But we will have to wait and see.
We're going to have more on that, and perhaps the role of the White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, in all of this. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's take a quick break here on Issues in the News.
More of Issues in the News in just a moment. This program is coming to you on the Voice of America in Washington. And a reminder that Issues in the News is available for free download on iTunes. Just click on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, Current Affairs with Carol Castiel. Now back to our panel. Linda Feldman, Washington Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and Tom DeFrank, Contributing Editor to the National Journal. Jim Malone, VOA Senior National Correspondent, is our moderator.
And welcome back. And we were talking about the potential shakeup in the administration, perhaps in a matter of weeks. And Tom DeFrank, I wanted to bring you in. Do you see the hand of the White House Chief of Staff in all of this, Kelly?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think General Kelly has got a pretty sure hand on foreign policy, especially in the realm of military affairs and national defense. I don't think this is has been engineered by Kelly. It's been facilitated by Kelly, because Kelly's a very smart guy and he understands there is no affection or even rapport between President Trump and Secretary Tillerson. But Kelly is the ultimate manager. He wants to manage the relationships better, and he wants to manage the whole policy process better. So to that extent, he is deeply involved in this. I want to segue just for a moment, Jim, back to something that happened when I was a very young lieutenant at the Pentagon in 1969. I came in one morning to discover that overnight the North Koreans had shot down an unarmed U.S. Navy electronic surveillance plane. I think there were about 40 American sailors and Marines who died there. And there was a lot of yelling and screaming, but we didn't go to war about it. It was managed. It was put in context. What I'm really trying to say is what you really hear below the radar in Washington is that nobody really thinks a military launch by the U.S. against North Korea is imminent. But what the experts fear most is there's some trigger, some incident which quickly ratchets things up, like the shooting down of a U.S. spy plane in international waters that I just mentioned almost 50 years ago. And the worry that if there's a U.S. aircraft carrier getting a little too close to the North Korean mainland or something, and there's an escalation, you get the feeling that President Trump and the North Korean leader, President Kim Jong-un, are not the most sophisticated foreign policy crisis managers. And so that's what you hear a lot. the fear that some small incident suddenly becomes a big incident and triggers an escalation by both sides, and we become more embroiled in a situation that, frankly, neither side probably wants to see happen. That's the worry that I hear in Washington.
Obviously, it's a situation we're going to be watching very closely in the weeks to come, and with the possible shuffling with in the administration, another complication there. But let me briefly pivot now to domestic politics and a very important potential achievement for President Trump and his allies, Republican allies in Congress, is tax reform, tax cuts. That Republicans have been working on with the failure of their efforts to undo Obamacare. The tax cut plan, Linda, has emerged center stage, but it's not without some difficulties to kind of move that all ahead.
Right. Now, this is really an incredibly critical time for this first year of the Trump presidency. He does not have a major legislative victory under his belt, aside from the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice, and he really needs a victory here. And it was looking good until a snag came along. The Joint Committee on Taxation in Congress ruled that the legislation in the Senate would add $1 trillion to the debt over 10 years, and that would not fly. So they had to go back to the drawing board. I think this is seen as not a killer problem. I think it's a speed bump along the way to passage. But I think when all is said and done, I know we have to talk carefully here because of the timing. I think it will get through. But the speed with which it's done is critical because we're heading toward a need to continue funding the government, which if they fail on that, the government shuts down. And that also looks bad for President Trump in his first year.
And Tom, it's not a full-on election year in the United States, but the 2018 midterms are not that far away, and it's certainly on the minds of a lot of lawmakers, and Republicans, for the most part, do not want to go into that election cycle without any major achievements, and that's why this tax cut plan is so important.
Exactly right, Jim. President Trump desperately needs a win. Congressional Republicans desperately need a win. For all the reasons Linda has already skillfully outlined, it's critical. And you're right. November 2018 is only 11 months away, and that's not that long a time. And the Republican members of Congress are desperate to avoid having to go to the voters and say, "Well, we tried, but it was the Democrats' fault that we didn't get a tax bill," even though we control the House, the Senate, and the White House. And that's not a great talking point for November 2018. So we'll have to see. I tend to agree with Linda that something will survive, but I do believe tax cuts for the wealthy are going to have to be scaled back a little bit, and there's going to have to be a little more give and take to get everybody inside the tent.
Yeah, because, Linda, it seems to me that even if they were to get this through in sort of the current form, there's some things there that the Democrats can attack. And it looks like it would be a major victory in the sense for the president rewarding his base, mm-hmm. but trying to broaden his support. There seems to be things there that the Democrats would point out that might work against the Republicans on this.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here in this tax legislation. And while the president is promising tax relief for middle-class Americans, some people will not see tax relief, depending on, you know, how many children you have and, you know, what state you live in. If you live in a state with state and local taxes, which are currently deductible on your federal taxes, that will go away. There are members of the Senate who are fighting to have property taxes up to a certain amount still deductible. So that would be, you know, that would help. But if you live in a high tax state like California, New York, New Jersey, you might really be in for a bigger bill. So those are obviously not Republican-leaning states. So I don't think the Republicans really care all that much if people in California are unhappy. Another aspect I would raise is that Donald Trump himself, as a wealthy man, stands to gain from this legislation. We have not seen his tax returns. There will be he's handing the Democrats an obvious talking point about self-enrichment and self-dealing in this legislation. So again, this feeds into the existing political narrative of tremendous polarization, but he will be giving the Democrats some strong talking points for the midterms.
Our last segment here I want to touch on is the ongoing sort of focus on sexual harassment around the United States involving notable figures from politics, from Hollywood, and now from the news media, the latest example being the long time host of the Today Show, Matt Lauer, co-host. It just seems as though, beginning with Harvey Weinstein, this thing has really taken off, and I don't know where the end is in sight on this, and it's really caused a kind of national focus on this issue.
For sure. I mean, I think, you know, it seems like every day another big name comes out, and there are some lesser names that are also going down. So this is, I think, every news organization, every business, basically every workplace is reexamining its policies and its warnings to employees. Women are feeling empowered to step forward. The Me Too moment has really taken off. Women are willing now to come forward on the record, put their name and their face out there, whereas women in the past have been embarrassed and not wanted their name out. So there's a lot more to go. I mean, we learned, there will, I'm sure, be other members of Congress whose names come out. We're seeing an interesting moment now in Congress with the Democrats. You've got John Conyers, one of the longest-serving, maybe the longest-serving Democrat in Congress, under fire for sexual misconduct, called upon now by the minority leader Nancy Pelosi to resign. He's resisting that call. Then you've got Al Franken, a senator. His alleged sins are much less serious, but still, he did some things that he shouldn't have done. He's apologized. He's now under increasing pressure to resign. The Democrats are carving out a zero tolerance posture on this issue, and again, this is a way in which the Democrats are trying to turn this into an important point for the midterms. And then you can't forget Donald Trump is himself facing more than a dozen accusations from different women. And I think some people see this as a backdoor way to really get Donald Trump on this very crucial gender issue.
Yeah, I want to bring in Tom on this in the minute and a half or so we have remaining. And this certainly has turned out to be, at least in terms of politics, Tom, a bipartisan issue, problem, cause, because both sides of the aisle have been affected by this.
There's no doubt about it, and there will be more congressmen and more senators who will be subjected to charges. You're both right. The Harvey Weinstein moment, the longtime movie mogul, who it's been alleged that dozens of women were harassed by him. That was the seismic moment from which all these other things flow. And there's going to be more, not less. I have no idea where it's going to end, but one thing is sure, more careers are going to end over the next couple of months in the private sector, in the legislative sector, and in the media sector. This is the beginning, not the end, what we're seeing now.
Yeah, it just seems it has the feel of something that we're in the midst of that is not going away anytime soon. And it has really kind of galvanized the country in a way. And I think a lot of people think for the good to focus on an issue that for a long time has not been highlighted enough. And with that, we have run out the clock on this edition of Issues in the News. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank Linda Feldman, the Washington Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and joining us by phone, Tom DeFrank, contributing editor to the National Journal. The program was produced by Rebecca Ward. Our engineer was Justin Thwaites. And I'm Jim Malone, VOA Senior National Correspondent. Thanks for listening on VOA.
from